So good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is Turning Towards Life with Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. We are here live again Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in London, and so pleased to be here for what is, I think, Lizzie, our 116th week of this. Woo-hoo. I always find it fun to count. So we're so glad to be doing this again, and we have a wonderful, beautiful source for us that Lizzie has chosen. And I want to welcome all of you, those of you who've joined us for the first time this week, live on Facebook or listening on our podcast or watching us later on YouTube. You're all so welcome to be with us. And it is, of course, what makes this possible to do. So I know, Lizzie, I'm extraordinarily glad that we have this practice between us. And I know we say this to one another very often, but even if nobody else were listening or watching, this would be deep and true and meaningful for us to be in this conversation. So it's very beautiful that we get to share it with other people.
Mm-hmm. And if there weren't people listening and watching, we might not do it.
Yeah, both are true at the same time.
Yeah. Like this morning, I might not have made it down the stairs to be here and do this if there wasn't something bigger at stake as well. So I so appreciate the support of there being people who do listen, because it's quite something to keep doing something again and again, as we all know. Like if we've ever tried to do a practice or a meditation or something, and the kind of support from community that this is to do this is quite extraordinary for me. So I'm really grateful as well that there's something at stake other than me. Because I'm much better at practicing when there's something wider happening than just me doing it on my own with my own sense of self-discipline, which wanes very frequently. But this doesn't, because I feel very committed to this whole thing. So I'm very grateful to feel supported in doing this. It's really wonderful.
Lizzie, before we begin with the source, yeah. I just want to say to everyone who's with us, just a reminder where you can find us, which is turningtowards.life, and also the bigger work that this comes from. We are thirdspace.org. And I just want to point everyone to something very specific there, which is that our very wonderful colleague Sue Braithwaite is going to be running our 2-day introduction to the work that we do, which is called Foundations of Coaching. Of course, the kind of coaching that we do has the name Integral Coaching or Integral Development Coaching, and it's happening in February on the 15th and 16th, which is a weekend, in London. And if you'd like to find out more about it, just head over to wearethirdspace.org and we would love to welcome you there.
Yes, and Sue is quite an extraordinary, brilliant person to learn with as well. So I would invite you if you can and you want to. Sue's beautiful at doing this work. So this source, the piece of world things, I feel like came to me because I feel very much in the practice of coming back to the moment at the moment. Like the consequences of things going wrong, I think being a new mum and having a tiny being to take care of feel really huge. And so I've been trying to practice this thing of, is everything okay right now? Is everything okay right now? And this source really screamed to me of this practice, which is about being here. And when I say being here, I mean like being with big letters and then here in big letters. And so I read it and it really soothed me and it really helped me. And I read it a number of times, and I've read it more times since I found it, to keep this coming backness really present in my life when I think of all the things that might happen, of getting ill or dying or what's happening to the world or the bushfires in Australia or whatever it is. I can find many, many things that are not made of the piece of world things. And so to come back to this feels very helpful to me in my practice right now. So this is called The Piece of World Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and what my and my children's lives may be. I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
So I have to tell you, Lizzie, before I read this, that this has in many ways been a life-saving poem for me. So it's very moving for me to read it. The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Thank you. So the line that just flew into my heart as you were reading, Justin, was I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I feel like recently I've been really in touch with the way that grief is love, and how love and grief feel so, I don't know what the word is, but scary is an understatement, shattering, really. And in a way that helps me find a way to make meaning of life, because without love and without grief, how would I make any decisions and decide what to do with this precious life of mine? And yet there's a way I can really, really frighten myself with my very overactive imagination of what might come to be and how I might not be able to handle it and how I would be smashed to smithereens and I feel afraid. And in that frightened state, I'm definitely not sane. You know, I feel like my thoughts, you know, go 100 miles an hour and I make up things in my head and eventually end up in some scenario that doesn't even exist that I've created because of in reaction to the fear. And so to read this and to consciously, intentionally practice into a being, a thing, a wild thing, who doesn't torture themselves with the thought of grief, and to allow myself to be lying down with the wood drake for a moment, and then another moment, and another moment, and being present to the ones that I love and looking people in the eye and just knowing that that's enough for now. And I can put the rest of my overactive imagination down and breathe, and to find this freedom and the grace of the world feels like, I don't know, like I'm being gently kind of washed through, and that I can relax, and that relaxation feels so welcome like relaxing in my mind that allows my body to relax. And I've really noticed the connection between the way I think and the state my body gets in, and how the thoughts of my imagination going wild create this kind of tension in me where my body kind of comes in on itself and feels very tight. And then when I read this, I can feel my nervous system become much more expansive and much more relaxed. And I'm very grateful for Wendell Berry in the way that he says things so that it can be that.
It's very beautiful hearing you say all of this, Lizzie, and I'm really struck by something that you said right when we were beginning this morning, when I talked about how we would have this conversation anyway, and you said, yes, and it's also true that being with others really matters in this. And I've been had this feeling since you said that of how important it is in human life for us to have both ends of the many different sort of polarities that we live in. So some of us, it seems to me, can live at the end of this that is, well, I won't feel anything. I won't feel any of the loss, and I won't feel any of the love, and that way I'll keep myself protected. And then you had a beautiful way of saying it before about this extraordinary, precious, transient life that we get to live in. We barely get to touch it if we live that way, if we sort of hold ourselves above and out of our experience. And then others of us live more easily at the other pole, where we feel all the time the impending loss and the real fear of loss, which we fear because we imagine we won't be able to take it, or the imagined fears of all the other things that might happen along the way. And that's sometimes feeling all of that is the cost of loving at all. And yet we can so easily, as you're saying, and I know this really, really well, we can inhabit a version of that, which is, and it's another way of really not being in life at all, because we're so filled up with all of the fear that we won't let ourselves be in contact with what it really feels like to love, and how smashed up we feel, and how open we feel, and how tender we feel, but also how beautiful it is.
Mm.
And I know myself as occupying both ends of that pole, and of, you know, both poles, but in sort of when I'm at one end or the other with such intensity that I'm away from life, it's sort of like a protective something, when what I really long for is to be really deeply in contact with life. And I imagine, I think very often,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that keeps me at either end in that sort of intensity is I won't be able to take it if I really felt what it was like to be in life right here, right now, how much my heart would burst open at seeing my children or seeing my friends or seeing you or seeing or doing something that matters.
Mm.
So all of that's been with me. And one of the reasons this poem has been properly actually life-saving for me is that it reminds me that the complicated scenarios which my mind can come up with, which have a germ of truth in them, like a real truth, like I will lose the people I love and they will lose me, and terrible things will happen, but also beautiful things will happen, which I forget.
Hmm.
It reminds me that there is a real gift in paying attention to how other things and other beings live and learning from them, and realizing that the gift of our minds, which can plan and anticipate and have things happen and move into the world and make choices which are so beautiful, are necessarily, we have to meet that with our really straightforward bodily capacity to be right here. And without that, we're, at least I am, turning away and turning away and turning away, all in a vain and doomed attempt to try not to have life touch me. And I'll say more about this later, I maybe as we go, but I think it's this poem which taught me about the swimming that I do. So the single practice that I have in my life that is the most restorative and the most powerful and the deepest and the most life-giving actually was inspired by this pond, by this pond. The pond is where I swim, by this poem. So yes, it, I think this is the last thought of mine just for now, is it is something to remember to live as the woodrake does. Or as the, I love this line, the day blind stars.
Yeah, me too.
Like sometimes I think that Wendell Berry is reminding us that there is a gift in a kind of purposeful setting aside of one way that we see for a while so that we can let another one, yeah, not to replace it or to obscure it, but so another one can take its place and we can be day blind for a while, or we can,
yeah,
live for a while, not taxing our lives with forethought of grief. Boy, do we need that. In fact, all of us need whatever it is, whatever is the other that we're not allowing ourselves to encounter, we're not allowing ourselves to include, that's what we need. This is a good one for those of us who go fearwards.
Yeah. Absolutely. I really love what you just said, Justin. It feels linked to a couple of episodes ago where we were speaking about, as human beings, there is a possibility to see and be differently than we are now. There just is. And it takes support and invitation and inspiration and shifting our ways for that to happen, but it is possible. And I think maybe that's the heart of the gift of this poem, is that it articulates beautifully and gently and kindly the state that we can get in with our fear. And it speaks of another way so perfectly closely with one another and kindly and gently that it allows there to be a break in the cycle. And we get to see that there is another structure I could hold of how to be in this moment. I could be here in a different way. And really, actually, what this poem made me reflect on was, and I think I've said this for a really long time now, I do think my main spiritual quest, if you like, or mission or something, is to be able to receive my life. You know, I can see all the ways that I push away, that I deny, that I forget, that I am frightened, that I'm avoiding. You know, it's so clear that there's all these things going on all the time. And really, in doing that, I push away the opportunity and the chance to really receive what this life is. And so in the way of encountering the peace of wild things, it's a repeated glimpse of what it means to receive life and not just be completely away with the fairies. I mean, it's so interesting to really observe myself and go, oh, wow. Because of my interpretation of what is happening, I'm totally missing I'm probably not here in a way. And because I'm absent, I'm in my thoughts, I'm away with the fairies. Or although the fairies would be quite nice. That's like the wrong saying all of a sudden, but like an absence and not being wholly present. And then I go, oh, I just kind of missed all of that. I missed a lot of that because of the way I was seeing, the way I was being, and the way I was thinking and feeling. And thankfully I can see that and can also then re-receive what just happened in a different way if I reflect on it and I get real with myself. But the fact that this creates a kind of a break in that cycle of absence and of being away feels like a huge gift and a huge way that I can reorient myself to receiving my life rather than pushing it away.
That's such magnificent language, Lizzie. Receiving, our capacity to receive life. Really beautiful. And I think that you're, it seems to me that you're pointing very squarely into something that is a phenomenon in different ways, but for many of us, maybe for all of us, which is life is receiving our lives, really allowing ourselves to receive our lives, calls on us to feel a ton of stuff, to know our own vulnerability and fragility, but also to know our own beauty and our own love and our own depth and our own capacity. And so I can only speak for myself in saying that I'm starting to see that one of the ways in which I have again and again and again not allowed myself to receive my life is my own fear that I won't be able to cope with what it is like to really be in life. Mm. If I really let myself feel all of this, I would be overwhelmed. I'd be overwhelmed with love. I'd be overwhelmed with grief. I'd be overwhelmed with confusion. I'd be overwhelmed with delight.
Yeah.
And at least my own stubborn personality structures, I think that I learned to do all the way through my life from very early on was to, well, I won't be able to cope with that, so let me not receive it. And I've got like a million strategies for not receiving it. And having language like yours is so powerful because I think it points right into life is always here.
Mm.
Am I going to risk receiving it whilst it's here or not?
Mm.
And I know that there have been minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years when I've been in not receiving life. And when I feel back into them, I can see that from how little I remember about them,
yeah,
how much I've been holding myself away. So it's holding ourselves away from life is only one way of talking about it. But your language of letting life reach us so we can receive this exquisite one-time gift that we get whilst we have these bodies and this really matters. And I suppose that's what Wendell Berry is pointing into when he says, what happens where we lie down, where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water.
Mm.
And you'll know this, and I'm sure I've spoken about this a number of times, but this poem inspired me to swim in the ponds on Hampstead Heath near where I live. And I learn the truth of Wendell Berry's words every time I get into the water, winter or summer, which is, however I'm holding myself away, when I'm in the water and there are wood drakes and great herons and all of this around the water, but the moment I'm in the water, it's like the truth of Wendell Berry's words come rushing back to me without my say-so. I can't, there's no defense I can put up against feeling, I'm here. Oh my goodness, I'm actually here. I'm in life. Life is touching me and reaching me. It's sort of an uncompromising. Mm. Sometimes for me, that's what it takes. And I think this is also Wendell Berry's point, is that at least for me, maybe for him, not enough just to sort of try and imagine myself into something. I actually really helps to put my body in a different place, to be in circumstances which will teach me other things about life. And that means being out of my office and out of my house and not on the train and not in a busy street. And the water does that for me every time. It cuts through something that I suppose I must be holding on to with such habit and fierceness and familiarity that it's often beyond my own wherewithal to sort of imagine my way out of it. I need to be, or it helps for me to be brought out of it by who and what I'm with.
And
I think a lot of us don't have notions like that in our lives. We don't see, it's easy to not see, and I've spent long times not seeing how the very way I'm living, it's not just a series of thoughts that I'm having, but it's actually the way that I'm living that is bringing about this kind of not receiving my life. And so then the question is, who can I be with? Where can I go? What can I do that keeps on bringing me into contact with receiving and makes it possible for me to get a glimpse of or a taste of or a feel of letting life in, for which I'm so glad for these ponds half an hour from my house.
Also, Justin, I just want to appreciate, you know, when I just put myself in the situation of what you do with your swimming, getting into a freezing cold open air pond in Hampstead is the opposite of comfort. When I feel into what it might be like and I imagine myself doing it. And I want to, I guess I just want to appreciate that you keep doing it. And this is the courage that it takes for us to live in the different way that you're saying and to question our way of being, is we have to do something. Like there's a doingness, and the doingness is the really powerful part, but it's also the scariest part. If I did the thing, that would break my habitual, comfortable, familiar way of being in the world. There is a way something gets broken every time. And I'm in appreciation of the way that we can break things, and often we don't break things because it's so frightening. And it's so scary to get into a freezing cold water, for example, because the body goes, and who knows what's going to happen. And it's dark under there and there's fish or something and things you can't see and all kinds of stuff. And it just screams at me this kind of intentionality, this kind of, I guess, wish to be awake that we have, that powers these decisions that we make to do things like your swimming. And in a way, this practice is one of those things too. And there's the vulnerability of not knowing what we're going to say, what, how this is going to be. And we're getting used to it, but it doesn't fail to be on the edge of life every time, because we don't know what each other's going to bring and what we're going to feel and all that kind of thing. So it's unpredictable. And although what is predictable now is that it's a good thing, but it doesn't always feel like what we want to do or what's convenient or what's comfortable when we're lying in bed on a Sunday morning and we've not been to bed till late on a Saturday or something, or whatever else is happening in our lives. And this is the nature of shifting our way of being in the world, is that there's some discomfort and there's some edginess to it. And your swimming example is such a great example, because it's not like you're going and having a spa treatment every week or something, or having a massage, or even going for a walk. I mean, walking is an amazing thing, but there's something quite breaking about your swimming practice that I feel in me right now, which is that it really is a cycle breaker. Because when you're in faced with something quite extreme, like a temperature change, your stories can't be there in that moment.
Right.
You know, it's different than that. It's a different, everything's altogether different than allowing a story to be there when you're going, it's freezing in here and I'm going to swim and I don't know what's beneath me and how I'm going to get out. And I'm just appreciating the stark beauty of that example of what one of these practices that we keep talking about is.
I'm really struck by that, Lizzie. That there's a way of reading Wendell Berry's poem which could sound like it's about soothing ourselves, and there is something soothing. I mean, I am enormously healed by getting in the water, actually, particularly in the winter. The water's 6 degrees now, it's really cold. And it has this twin effect that you're naming so beautifully, that on the one hand, it's sort of uncompromising, it cuts through. And I'm learning not to hesitate. I arrive there and I get in the water very quickly, because I know that I've got all these stories about what it will be like. And I've also done it a lot of times. And I also really actually know what it will be like. And it will be confronting and everything. But the other thing is that once I'm in, I feel really held. It's like being held in something really alive, particularly when it's cold, really alive and really fierce. And I was thinking as you were speaking, I mean, there's a ton of things to say about, for me, about that practice and why it's why it's a life-saving practice, because it wakes me up from my spinning away from my life, from my not receiving my life. What you were saying reminded me that a massage can be a practice like that for us. So when I'm not willing to receive, to allow myself to be open and vulnerable to the touch of another, allowing receiving care, physical care from another person, which can be deeply nourishing, is also a great big awakening for us. And the other one I was thinking about, I think that's, I agree with you, of course, about this that we're doing. For me, the other one is just simply telling the truth is a practice, is a little bit like what Wendell Berry says. I could say when I'm with somebody who I trust and I tell the truth, and then I could just take the last line of the poem, for a time I rest in the grace of the world and I'm free. Mm-hmm. It's a great big interruption to my ordinary ways of going to sleep because I'm afraid, and it brings me squarely into the path of life. And when I really do that, here I am, day blind, not taxing my lives with forethought, simply here and present and receiving. And so there are a million practices like this that will be different for each of us.
Yeah, exactly. And the intentionality behind them is so important, isn't it? And understanding the reason to do things and knowing ourselves well enough, or having someone know us well enough to figure out the thing that facilitates our own particular, I guess, like break in the habitualness or something. Well, I'm just looking at the clock and realizing it's our time, and I can hear the baby girl shouting a bit, and poor Matthew's going to have to be dealing with that. So I'm just very glad to have this. I feel injected as usual with presence and a renewed connection with life. So I'm very grateful to be here and to have talked about Wendell Berry like this. He's my favourite, I think, right now.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lizzie, as always.
So we'll see you next week, everybody, live on Sunday, the something of December it will be. And thank you for being with us. It makes it all happen.
That's right. Thank you, everyone.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.